water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'll tell you, you know, it's I never get tired of quoting Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You know, it's the truth, everybody. It's the truth. You know the beautiful thing about truth? It's always truth. I mean, the first time I ministered in Calvary Gospel was in 1975. So if I told you something then and I told you something different now, I either lied to you back then or I'm lying to you now. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. And you are in the right church tonight, everybody, really, for what you need from God. So again, I appreciate the hospitality of Calvary Gospel and Pastor Roy Grant and his wife, and also Brother and Sister Thomas for allowing me to stay in their home. And I also want to commend the faithful saints of God in this church. You know, the ones that are young like me. Okay. All right. And it's just a testimony, folks. You can live for God anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. You know, just keep walking, will you? Amen. How can two walk together except there be in agreement? Thank God for the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your giving to help us on our missions endeavor. You know, when pastors go, their churches send them. Missionaries raise PIMs. The evangelist is right in between. We kind of get what's left, you know, or whatever. But anyway, God bless you, and I really pray that. God bless you for your help and sacrifice. Let's open our Bible, shall we, one more time, together to the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 12. And again, I want everyone to know this altar area will be open at the close of this message. Do yourself a favor and come to an altar. Really, do yourself a favor. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The word suffereth means it allows violence. Allows violence. And the violent take it by force. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven allows violence. And the violent take it by force. I'm going to speak about a spiritual violence a little bit tonight. Let's pray one more. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, we thank you, God, again, for how you've ministered to so many through worship and through your presence. Now, God, let the word of God penetrate our hearts and understanding. You know the spiritual condition of every individual in this house. And God, let faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord tonight. God, I know that without you, I can do nothing. So in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. We are living in a very violent age. Violence. You can't pick up the newspaper anymore without hearing about violence. The man in Las Vegas who takes the gun and kills over 50 people. Violent. Problem with television is that there's so much violence on there. Hollywood movies, violent. And as a result, there's violence. Violence is rampant in our schools, and someone gets fired from a job, they go to the workplace. It's a violence of which God does not approve. But there is a violence of which God does approve. All right. It's a holy violence. It's a spiritual violence. It's a godly violence. When the word violence in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it denotes in the Greek the violence of an army taking a city or a crowd of people breaking a door down to get into a room. Most people do not think of coming to God as an army taking a city or a crowd of people breaking a door down to get into a room. My wife was raised Seventh-day Adventist. I'd go to church with her on Saturday so she could come to church with me on Sunday. And you know what? No one in the Seventh-day Adventist prayed out loud but the man in the pulpit. No one clapped their hands. No one raised their hands. I never saw the altar open one time. And know what? I never saw anyone receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost either. I never did. And folks, it's not how loud we pray, but it's got to be with the intensity in our spirit and attitude while we are praying. Because there's a woman in the Bible that prayed, you know, her lips moved, but no words were uttered. Because there was such an attitude in her of how much she wanted what she needed from God. Now, this violence, the spiritual violence, is an intense exertion. It's talking about a strength and a vigor that I want the things of God. Now, the blessings of God are not given to people that are lazy, indifferent, lackadaisical, you know, laid back. In 44 years as an evangelist, I've gone to people in the pew and they said, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, I'll just sit here and wait for it. And I have to tell them, you're going to be sitting and waiting for a long time. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But it's a violence that is put upon our flesh. Do you know what? Your flesh does not want to pray. Your hands will go up for Aaron Rodgers, but not for God. You know, really. Folks, we have a flesh that doesn't want to come to the altar, wants to go out the door and go to Culver's. Do you understand that? Folks, this is what it's talking about. It's the frame, the temperament, and the mind must be altered sometimes. All right? To have the true blessings of God. It's a force that's put upon the corrupt nature. It's amazing how some people can be so sleepy when preaching is going on and wide awake at Wendy's an hour later. You're laughing, folks, but it's really not funny. What really counts is your soul and your relationship with Almighty God. Folks, this violence, folks, is a strong energetic desire to have the blessings of God, amen, in your soul, whatever the cost. And that is why whenever we're in a service where if a man or a woman would come to this altar, like an army taking a city or a crowd of people breaking a door down to get into a room, that's when wonderful things happen, amen, in the church service. But there are words that jump off the paper to us, you know, in magazines and advertising brochures. Sale, bargain, 50% off. You know, people just never like to pay the full price. They don't. I mean, I've seen cars going down the street with a coat hanger holding on the muffler. Just go buy a bracket for $2.50. I'm not paying that. This coat hanger is cheaper. All right. But it shows something in our flesh. I remember preaching for a man, and we were going to go. And he said, "Hey, Brother Mackey, all the suits are on sale at this store in Chicago." So I said, "All right, I'll go." You know, and I mean, we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to Chicago. I was convicted already. I couldn't remember the last time I got up at 4 a.m. to pray, and I'm going to go get a suit. So we traveled 3.5 hours. I mean, and already the men were lined up at the front door, down the street, and around the corner. I mean, I think I was 125th in line. All right. You think women are bad at sales? By the time I went in that door, belts were flying, pants were flying, shirts were flying. I find, where's the 46 regulars? By the time I got to the rack, the whole rack was empty, you know. Because people like sales. But I'm here to tell you, God has no sale and God has no bargain for you. He is no respecter of persons. Everybody pays the same price. But it shows the tendency. I remember telling my daughter when she was just 6 or 7, I walked into her bedroom. I could not even see the carpet. I said, "Now, Becky, I want you to clean this room. I want to be able to see the floor." She comes back in 10 minutes. "My room is clean, Dad." And I did. I went in. Everything was good. But I opened up the closet door. I looked under the bed, jammed things under the bed, jammed things in the dresser drawers. When I went to Apostolic Bible Institute, folks, all we did was iron the front of our white shirt. We never ironed the sleeves or the back. You know, I mean, we just did things good enough to get by. And in my travels sometimes, I find out there are people that come to church just enough to get by. They pray just enough to get by. They go through the motions just enough to get by. But I'm here to tell you, folks, if you want God, you must love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. Now let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 19 in our Bibles. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, there's a man by the name of Zacchaeus. All right. Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, don't it mean to be chief of the publicans? The publicans were the tax collectors, but the fact that he was the chief of the publicans, all he did was, he never sat at a table to collect tax money. He would just walk around to all the tax stations and pick up the tax money. All right. But when he was walking around picking up all this tax money, he kept hearing these reports about a man by the name of Jesus. Jesus fed 5,000. Jesus cleansed the leper. Jesus raised the dead. You know, Jesus opened up blinded eyes. And, you know, and Zacchaeus kept hearing about Jesus. And, you know, and he thought, you know, someday I would like to see this Jesus. But now something got a hold of his life and wouldn't let him go, because it says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, because he heard the report, "Hey, Zacchaeus, Jesus is coming to Jericho tomorrow." Boy, he was rich. I can see Zacchaeus getting up, boy, putting on his finest robes, because he was rich, putting on his nice turban, you know. And the Bible says he went out to see Jesus, who he was. But do you know what? The Bible says the press was great. There was already a huge crowd of people. And the Bible says he was a short man. I don't know. I'm only 5'8". Maybe he, like me. Okay. 5'6", 5'4". I don't know. So he tried to look over this one. He couldn't see anybody. He tried to look over this one. He couldn't see anybody. He said, "Well, I guess I can't see Jesus today. So I guess I'll go home and go back to bed." But the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I have to see Jesus. So he looked. And know what it is? He sees a sycamore tree. And the Bible says he ran. I wish more people would run. Don't drag him. Well, do I want to pray? Do I want Jesus? I wish more people would run. He ran. And he finds the sycamore tree, and he's crawling up the tree, and he's hanging up there, you know. And here's a little kid down there with his dad that says, "Ha, ha, look at that, Dad. There's Zacchaeus, one of the chief tax collectors, one of the chief citizens, climbing a tree." But he didn't care. He was hanging on, and here comes Jesus walking down the road. Know what I think? I think Jesus saw a man in a tree, and it put a smile on his face. Yeah. Jesus walked by the whole crowd and stopped right under this tree. "How you doing, Zach?" "Doing good, Lord." "Boy, you really wanted to see me, didn't you?" "Jesus, I heard so much about you. I just wanted to see you." "Well, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down? Because I'm going to dwell at your house today." And Zacchaeus made haste. Amen. And they went to Jesus, and his whole life was transformed. And they said, "Why is he going to a sinner's house?" But do you know what? Jesus, you know, I mean, there might be 500-600 people in a church service, but God will stand still just for you. Do you understand that? When the attitudes are, but see, I mean, Jesus didn't say, "Zacchaeus, come on, you're a man. I mean, You're like a kid. Don't get out of that tree. Why didn't you climb that tree? No, Jesus did not reprimand him. Jesus loved it because, folks, spiritual violence allows someone to climb a tree to see Jesus. Now let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 in our Bibles. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So here's Bartimaeus, blind. But know what? Now his hearing was even more sensitive. And as he sits there begging, he hears crowds coming by. And he hears the same reports. This man by the name of Jesus can feed 5,000. This man by the name of Jesus can raise the dead. This man by the name of Jesus, can touch deaf ears, this man by the name of Jesus. And when here comes this crowd, and he understands, gee, it's Jesus. Jesus is with them. And the Bible says, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. But people said, come on, Bartimaeus, shh. No, Bartimaeus, don't pray so loud, or pray more dignified, you know. So what did Bartimaeus do? Dear Jesus, I am a blind man. And if you have time, perhaps you can heal me. No. The Bible says he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, I'm blind. I need you. You can heal my eyes. Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. You know what? Jesus got that same smile on his face again. Somebody really wants to touch me. All right. And they said, be of good comfort, Bartimaeus. He's calling for you. Boy, Bartimaeus cast away his garment, went to Jesus. What do you want, Bartimaeus? I want to receive my sight. And his eyes are opened. All because, you know, the spiritual violence allows you to cry out all the more. It does. I mean, can't you see a man who fell off of a ship, cruise ship or an ore vessel out in Lake Superior someplace, and you know, and he's drowning. But here comes another boat coming by. What does he do? Tread water and say, dear sirs, in yonder ship, I've now been in the deep for 3 days. Perhaps you can send me a life preserver. Folks, if he had a chance to be saved, he would say, help me! Ah! Hey, here I am! Help me! You know, that's how it is with God. But see, there's always people that are going to tell you, pray more dignified, don't climb a tree. You know, now don't get too fervent about this. But I want you folks to know touching Jesus is all that really matters. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost, getting something in your soul. Amen. But sometimes it's the devil's business to tame the church down. Don't get too excited now. You know, do you understand if a church ever gets lukewarm, God's going to do the rest? He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It's better to be hot or cold than lukewarm. Because in my years as a pastor and now as an evangelist, some people are cold, and you know, and they come in and they realize they need God and there's a movement in their spirit. But people that are lukewarm, they're used to the altar services, they're used to the preaching, they're used to the conviction, and they just sit there. But no, the devil says, now don't get too fervent or too excited about this. I think it was the 1968 or the 1969 Mets. You know, they call them the Amazing Mets because they won the World Series. You know, and after, when they won the World Series, people ran into the field. They were pulling up tufts of grass, you know, from left center field, ripping the signs off the outfield wall. I mean, cutting home plate into pieces, and they had a parade. And people were going downtown New York saying, wow, look what I got. I got some grass from left center field. Wow, look what I got. I got a piece of rubber from home plate. Wow, look what I got. I got a piece of first base. And then they want us to be quiet? Wow! Look what I got! I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost! Amen. I have the hope of heaven in my. Yeah, look what I've got. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look what I've got. But whenever someone wants to touch God, there's always critics. They criticize Bartimaeus. They criticize Zacchaeus. You know what? A critic to me is a man who has a mustache and he eats a Limburger cheese sandwich. And he gets an eating the sandwich and there's a little hunk of Limburger cheese hooked on his mustache. So he goes back to work in his car after lunch. He says, boy, my car stinks. Then he goes to his office. He said, man, my office stinks. He goes to the grocery store. This store stinks. He goes home and kisses his wife. That's all right. There was nothing wrong with the wife, nothing wrong with the car, nothing wrong with the supermarket. The problem was with him. You know, just get that piece of Limburger cheese off of your mustache. But see, some people are like, really, some people come to church and all the time they're there with their critical eye open, boy. Yeah, they're checking. I wonder if Sister So-and-so is going to do her little dance on the second song. Yeah, up there's Brother So-and-so waving his arm back there again. Yeah, we'll count how many times that pastor hits the pulpit when he preaches. Yeah, boy, we're going to do that, you know. And all around him, people are touched and blessed. And when he leaves the church, his eye is all swollen and red, you know, because he's had a critical eye the whole night. Listen, everybody, do you understand? God wants to forgive your sin. He wants to restore your marriage. He wants to fill you with the Holy. God wants to touch you. He really does. Man, in the book of Mark chapter 2, let's look at that. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. All right? Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. So he comes into Capernaum and it was noised that he was in the house. So Jesus is in the house. All right? He's in the house. And straightway they were gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. You understand, there are so many people jammed in the house already that no one else could get in there. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And so now here comes four individuals carrying a man that was sick of the palsy. They couldn't get in through the window. They couldn't get in through the door. So they said, well, I guess you can't find Jesus today and take him back home. No. No, what they did, because every house in Bible days had a stairway that went right up to the roof of the house. So they went up to the roof of the house and they started tearing the tiles off the roof. So here's Jesus in the living room teaching and suddenly there's drywall hitting him in the head, you know. So Jesus steps back and he's got that same smile he had when he saw Zacchaeus, the same smile when he saw Bartimaeus. He smiled. Hey, folks, just hold it. Someone wants to touch me. So the hole got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they dropped this man of the palsy at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, take up that bed and walk. And people were so upset. They said, no. Or Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? And then Jesus said, well, what is more difficult to say, take thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy bed and walk? But he said, to let you know who's in your midst, I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk, and thy sins forgiven thee. Folks, and the man left because, do you know what? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Honestly, folks, if Pastor Roy Grant put a chest here filled with gold coins, silver, diamonds, rubies, you know, and there's a lock on it, and he says, all you have to do is get the lock off, and what's ever in the treasure chest is yours. And Brother Mackey, since you're our guest, you can go first. Okay. So what do I do? Ask this lady for a bobby pin or something? And try to pick the lock? I'm going to say, you mean all I have to do is get the lock off and everything in it is mine? Where's the tool shed for Calvary Gospel? Get me a sledgehammer. Get me a drill. Get me some dynamite. Get me something. I just need to get the lock off. And I want you to know God has a treasure house full of blessings. All we need to do, folks, is somehow say, I'm willing to climb a tree. I'm willing to cry out all the more. I'm willing to pull some tiles off the roof. Because there's no bargaining table with God. I remember pastoring in upstate New York, and there was a man I was teaching a Bible study to, and he surprised me. He just came to church on a Wednesday night, Bible study night. And so I went back, you know, the man didn't come to the altar, and so it was time to go home. And so I said, listen, brother, I said, why don't we just have a word of prayer before you go? And I admit, I was going to pray one of these nice, fine pastoral prayers. Dear Jesus, touch my brother, lead him, guide him. God, open up his mind, give him, you know, faith. I was praying so nice, and his man had never been in the church before. And to my amazement and shock, I mean, suddenly he pushed my arm away and he's got his hands up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God filled him with the Holy Ghost in about 5 minutes. I mean, I was the one who I was so content, but no, folks, God allows that. All right? Man, in a church my dad pastored in Beloit, Wisconsin, there was a young man there by the name of Paul. Folks, he came to the altar every night, every service night, I should say, to receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm not mocking, I'm just telling you how it is. Because Paul would come and he would raise his hands and he always prayed in groups of three. He would go, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus, Jesus. So, okay. So, folks, he has been doing that now for 3 years. Okay. Now, folks, if I did something for 3 years and nothing happened, I would do something different. That's why if you're used to preach, you know, praying on that side of the altar, why don't you pray on this side of the altar? Sometimes I wonder, well, what would happen if I made everyone switch sides on their pews? Because you all got your own chair over here. I mean, you really do, all right? So anyway, so we had an evangelist in. A friend of mine preached for my dad, and he watched Brother Paul for a few nights. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So finally he said, Paul, listen, we're just going to walk around the church. All right, Brother Mackey, get on one side. So I got on the other, and Paul's legs were as stiff as 2x4s. Okay, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So we went down, up and around the back. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Down the side. All right. And by the time we got around one time, his legs began to loosen up. He began to get some rhythm. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, do you know what? That was, you know what that was to Paul? It was climbing the sycamore tree. He was crying out all the more. He was pulling tiles off. Suddenly, all of his flesh, you know, it was crucified. And folks, and he just went a little bit, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he started speaking with other tongues. Amen. And he's an apostolic preacher in West Virginia this very night. Hallelujah. So folks, yes. I was at a church one time where folks, because people just love the altar because good things happen at this altar. You know, and this one man needed the Holy Ghost, but he always waited to go to the altar because he had his own secret spot up by the organ, you know, because he didn't want anyone rubbing his back or pushing his head, you know. So he waited, and he waited till the very end. And when he went up to pray by the organ, somebody was already there. So he thought he would sneak into the altar. Pretty soon people are rubbing his head and rubbing his back. And so pretty soon he said, oh, let's forget the flesh. And he just got focused on God, and God filled him with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, you know, God allows this. I was preaching for Brother Merrick in Duluth, Minnesota years ago. And on the Sunday morning of revival, a woman came to the altar, folks, trembling, just weeping and crying under the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I was saying, ma'am, that's right. Come on, let's just raise our hands. Let's just yield to God. God's ready to give you the Holy Ghost. But know what? She wouldn't do it. She just absolutely resisted. But she was there Sunday night. And when I opened up the altar Sunday night, I mean, this woman comes to the altar. Folks, she takes a metal chair. She puts the chair there and she kneels and she puts her hand up on the chair like this. In just a few minutes, folks, God filled her with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. She was speaking with other tongues. And then afterwards she told us, she said, I have a pacemaker. And the doctor said, if I ever raise my hands, I might die. And she said, I was so afraid if I raised my hands that I would die. That's why I resisted today. But she said, I know I need the Holy Ghost more than I need anything. So tonight I said, I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to get the Holy Ghost, even if I die getting it. I want you to know she did not die, but God filled her with the Spirit of God. Folks, see, that's what heaven allows, that kind of intensity and that type of exertion on you. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven allows this. But in the book of Mark chapter 5, folks, the Bible's talking, I mean, all the eyes are on this woman with the issue of blood. She said, oh, if I could just get through the press, folks, and touch the hem of his garment. Folks, I don't think she yanked it or pulled on it. I think she just pressed it. And Jesus said, who touched me? In one translation, the disciple says, Lord, there's people everywhere. Everybody's touching me. But Jesus said, somebody touched me by faith because I felt virtue flow out of me. So you mean out of that whole multitude, there was only one individual, that touched God? Because sometimes in our churches, we sometimes have more spectators than we do have participators. Folks, I mean, it is so easy just to go through the routine, I mean, I don't know. We're not apostolic robots. How can I say that? Church time. Okay, put the key in. Wind me up. Church. Yep, sit on the third pew, left-hand side, Raise your hands, yep. Clap those hands, yep, yep. Sing one song, two songs, three songs, boom, yep. Announcements, yes. Choir, yes. All right, visit with each other for 5 minutes or you get a ticket. All right. Let's sit down. All right, Brother Mike. All right. Come to the altar. Folks, you can go the whole service and not feel anything. How can two people be sitting in the same pew, singing the same songs, hearing the same message, pray at the same altar? And someone says, boy, that was a great service. The other one says, boy, that wasn't, God just wasn't there tonight. And God is no respecter of persons. Do you want to know respecter of persons? So therefore, everybody, listen, when's the last time you came to an altar like an army taking a city? When's the last time you prayed, folks, like a crowd of people breaking a door down to get into a room? When's the last time you really, if I don't touch God tonight, I'll touch him next week or I'll touch him next camp meeting? No, folks, it's kind of like the man that took the cruise, the sea voyage, And he was so happy he was going to take a cruise. But he put so much money on the ticket, he didn't have any money left to eat meals. So he packed his suitcase full of crackers and cheese. So for breakfast, he had cheese and crackers. For lunch, he had crackers and cheese. For supper, he had double crackers and single cheese. For the late night snack, he had double cheese and single crackers. And then for breakfast the next day, all he had was the crackers. And for lunch, he just had the cheese. And then he thought he'd go back to the cheese and crackers again. He did this for 7 days. He got so sick of cheese and crackers. In fact, when he went to bed, he had nightmares of a rat coming and stealing all of his cheese. It's the last day of the cruise. And he just happened to look at his ticket and it says, all meals included. With price of ticket. Do you understand what God has to offer every one of us that is in this place? Don't shortchange yourself because everything God has is for you. That is why in Luke 15, when the prodigal son came back home, he said, it's better in the father's house. I'll be a servant, not even a son. I'm sleeping in the swine pen. I'm chewing on the same husks of corn that the pigs have chewed on. But he comes back and the father sees him a long ways off. Kill the fatted calf. Come on, my son who was dead is now alive. And they have this big celebration. But here's the elder brother who was out in the field, right? And he comes in, and he smells the barbecue cooking, you know, and he's sweaty from working, you know, and he sees that brother of his, that backslider kid, you know, who left. And everyone's patting him on the back. He's got a new robe on his shoulders and a new ring on his finger. Ha! Come on! What are they doing that for? And the father says, come on, brother, rejoice. Your son, your brother who was dead is now alive. And know what the brother said? He said, but father, I never left your house. I've worked in the fields. I stayed right here. But you never gave me a party. And the father said, but all that I have is yours. You could have it. Do you know how many churches I've been in where a backslider came? There was one church that this woman came in. She had been away from God for so long, she didn't think there was no hope for her. And even during the preaching, she started crawling toward the altar. Have mercy, God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And folks, in the presence of God was all over, and God just renewed her and blessed her and forgave her. Amen. And strengthened her. And so sometimes, but I paid my tithes. I never left the church. I'm godly. I've taught a home Bible study. But God's never blessed me like that. Maybe, folks, maybe it was just, you know, we just settled. You know, just settled. I'll never forget, I was preaching in another rally, and this young boy, well, not really, I mean, you know, 18 or 19. Folks, he was just flat on his back. God touched him, and he's flat on his back, hands raised, speaking with tongues. And then the pastor's wife came down off the platform, you know, and I kind of went to the steps just to help her. And we were walking by this boy on his back speaking with other tongues. And I'll never forget the pastor's wife just breaking into tears. She looked at this boy. She said, Brother Mackey, it's been so long since God touched me like that. And I wanted to say, it's not God's fault, everybody. Sometimes I feel sorry for the musicians. Everyone else is at the altar getting blessed, and they're up here carrying the load of the music. And, you know, I mean, don't they ever want to come down here and tear the tiles off the roof and climb a tree and cry out all the more? Hey, everybody, please don't just be content and sing the three songs and have the announcements and hear me preach and come to an altar and pray your 4 minutes and 13 seconds. I don't care how many times you've been to this altar to receive the Holy Ghost. Folks, really, do it one more time. Tear the tiles off the roof. Do something. Folks, if I've been doing this now for 6 months and hasn't happened, Lord, what should I do? Because the kingdom of heaven allows violence, and the violent take it by force. It works with the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? There's victory here. There's the renewing of the Holy Ghost here. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? When's the last time you felt the presence of God from the top of your head to the sole of your feet? When is the last time? I mean, you were so overwhelmed by the Spirit. Yes, well, yeah, because you know what? Just sitting in that pew will not always satisfy you. Folks, you know, just hearing the chorale and hearing another evangelist will not satisfy you. After a while, there has to be something that comes from heaven, from the very throne of God. And the kingdom of heaven allows violence, and the violent take it by force. When was the last time you came to an altar? Like an army taking a city. Because you need the Holy Ghost more than you need anything. You need the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You need a fresh touch from God. Let's stand, shall we? Let's stand. Let's raise those hands to God for a moment. Jesus. Hallelujah! Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, God. Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to cry. Oh, he is passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, yes, reach out. Oh, yeah, let's move in close. They make room for everybody.